Well, hey guys, it's Nate, Travis, Levi, and we're here with Pearls and Swine. We're excited to speak with you this morning, and we wanted to talk a little bit about how people are doing in quarantine. I constantly hear people feeling like, oh, I need to get out. I need to go do something. I'm getting stir crazy. Or maybe you've been on one too many Zoom meetings and they're just like draining you. And so, yeah, I wanted to check out, see what you guys are doing. Travis, what you've been up to? How are you defeating the stir crazy feel?
I was doing pretty good up until maybe a week or so ago of that, just not feeling that stir craziness. And the weather started to shift a little bit and got a little bit nicer. And you start to see things, buds on the trees, grass starting to get green. And there was just a switch inside me that's all of a sudden like, this is too much. I need to get out and do something. Thankfully, this week, the tech trails opened up a little bit. So there are some spots to get out. I took my boys out the other day just to go ride some bikes. And that was slow paced, but good for the soul. We've been trying to do little things like we've got a dog. So take the dog for a walk, get outside, just try to get outside of the house a little bit and change the scenery up a little bit. That seems to help.
I know early on when we had a couple of the snowstorms and snow was on the ground, that was really hard for me because, yeah, you couldn't get outside. You couldn't get away from the house or anything. And so you just felt more trapped and imprisoned. But, yeah, I think like right now I'm feeling like I want to go somewhere. I'd like to, I don't know, maybe go to a beach, maybe go to the mountains, maybe travel somewhere even.
Airfare is still cheap, so there you go.
I know. I wonder if you can get a cruise right now. That'd be fun. But yeah, I think we all have these desires and wants, but it's just not reality for right now. And so how do we deal with some of that stuff?
Yeah, I think that there's lots of ways to deal with the idea of being stir crazy. But I always think of like some of the people that were probably even more stir crazy than us. You have like Noah.
He's on That's a good point.
He's on a boat for not just like it rains for 40 days, but what is he there? Like 120 days or something like that. And
yeah,
I mean, that thing's not that big.
It's got a smell, right?
It stinks and he's with his family. And there's nowhere to go. There's great tragedy happening. People had died and the world as they knew it was totally different. And in some sense, the world as we know it is totally different. And, you know, even coming back from this will be a little bit different. But I think it's a question, how are you redeeming the time? The scriptures indicate that we're to pay careful attention how we live, not as unwise people, but as wise people, making the most of the time. That's in Ephesians, I think. It talks about that. And I think that that's really what, like, I'm sure that some of you are doing house projects. It's nice that we can go to wherever now and get garden supplies and lumber and all of those types of things. But that's kind of what I've been doing, is trying to plan. We're building a deck right now. And hopefully after that, we'll build a sauna, because that is good for the old mental health for me, is to sit in solitude. I have not minded most of it. I haven't been really that stir crazy to get out and to do anything because we've had these projects to do. And, you know, fixing the kids' motorcycle and doing those types of things, that catching up maybe on life a little bit. And so trying to make the most of that is kind of how I've been handling that. If I just had to sit there though and watch, TV all the time, I would go absolutely bonkers.
Yeah. I was looking at an article. There's this guy who spent some time in jail, and he was talking about the difference between quarantine and jail. And he's like, you know, even the guys in jail, they'd be like, oh, that's just nothing I can do right now. And he's like, you know, really, it's a matter of perspective. There are things that you can do, and you just need to redeem the time, kind of like what you're talking about. And he's talking about, you know, taking some classes on Instagram or whatever, like dance classes or something. I don't know. I don't know what kind of things are available.
That's where you go right away. Dance classes?
That's what he said. Oh, that wasn't
me. We have to disclose that Nate used, I knew this guy that I read an article on, end quote. So it's personal. It's okay. No judgment here. Just a little.
I can't even respond to that. But yeah, I mean, the idea of redeeming time and keeping our minds occupied is really helpful. I've done a few projects here and there, and so that's been good. And just a sense of accomplishment. We've utilized some time to make something happen. So that's really, really good.
I think the reality of this whole thing, though, is it brings us back to how communal we are as humans. And it brings us back to the idea that God created us as relational beings. And the more time we spend in this, the more I think that we kind of realize like that we need other people and that we're connected to other people. And there's joy in being in relationship with other people and being able to do things and being able, it's not just going on vacation. I think it's a larger than that. It's the isolation and maybe the loneliness that kind of happens, which is also a scary thing, I think, in the sense of if you're already kind of, have a predisposition toward some depression, some of those things. I think this really brings it out. And I think that for me is kind of the scary part for people is that there is mental illness. And like, how do you, what do you do in those moments when you're all alone and those thoughts are just rushing through your head and they're pounding in? Because we all have a tape in our head, how that affects us. I think some of like, true mental illness, I think, is actually an attack on the organ of the brain with the chemicals or lack thereof. And not that we're experts on this, but, you know, one of the things that the church has done maybe a poor job at is kind of talking about mental illness and not just kind of like, well, you have Jesus, pray about it. I think there's more to it than that. We wouldn't do that for cancer. We wouldn't do that for a broken leg or anything else. And so that is one of the things that's deeply concerning. One of my favorite teachers, he was an evangelical pastor, pretty high profile. Darren Patrick is his name. It seems like he killed himself during this time. He shot himself, and they don't know. It could have been self-inflicted or it could have been an accident. They're not 100% positive, but the signs kind of lead toward that there was something kind of underneath, this undergirding underneath that was going on within his life. And so, yeah, that's one of my concerns in this. I feel pretty good right now, but I know that there are others out there that are not feeling that way.
Yeah. And I think there's almost a three-headed trifecta to it. And Nate, you kind of talked about this in the article that you read about the guy in jail, but it's mind, body, and soul. And I think when I found myself stir crazy, my mind is staying sharp because we're trying to figure out Zoom things. We're in different Bible studies, and I've been able to really catch up on my year Bible plan and do some different reading that normally I wouldn't have. So that's sharp. My body has been the side of things that I've been lacking. I got the COVID-19, and it's not the virus. It's probably the poundage that I've added on from being at home. So I need that sort of that thing physically to go out and relieve stress and little projects here and there that I've done, like putting in a new door handle. That didn't take too much strain on my part to get in. But like, we've got to keep our minds, bodies, and souls active and sharp and moving forward.
Yeah, and I was thinking, Levi, just like this idea that maybe we can pray away depression and some of that. When sin has corrupted our world, it's certainly then corrupted us. It's corrupted our bodies. It's corrupted our minds. And so we need to be willing to seek help, which can be hard in the quarantine time, because a lot of times we could just hang out with buddies and stuff like that and regain some of that mental perspective. But sometimes things are off, and something stressful like this can really reveal some of those chinks in the armor, so to speak. And so, yeah, if you need someone to talk to or just help, please reach out, and you can reach out to us. And there are resources in our community that can help as well. Dial Help is a great resource if you're seriously depressed and thinking about hurting yourself in any way. But we want to make sure that we're here for each other. We want to just care for each other, especially in this time. So please reach out and let us know if there's something that you're struggling with.
Yeah, and Levi, I liked how you pointed out the concept of community and how we really need that. Mm-hmm. Whenever I find myself in isolation, whether it's self-produced or, you know, sometimes it's good for us to have that moment away where we can recoup and regather our minds and reconnect with God. But too much of that, and I find that that tape that you said that we play over and over in our head, you know, my head is a dark, dark place sometimes.
We know.
I've only let you into little glimpses of it, but it can be scary and it can put you into places, that are hard to dig out of by yourself. Mm. And, maybe I've shared this. I battled through some depression in college and actually went and saw a counselor and got some help. And I think the hardest thing about doing that was my own pride, letting down that barrier that said, I can't do it by myself. I can't do it just through prayer. A counselor helped me. Being in community helped me. I had good friends around me that I could go to that loved Jesus and loved me. And the thing about our faith is that we're not called to do it alone. Our God is a triune God, a God of community. We're a people that are to be one body in unity, and a body has many parts. As I was reading in John today, 1 John chapter 3, it's verse 18, Dear children, do not let us love with words or speech, but also with actions and in truth. I see that action part play out. Like, I can have all the truth in the world, but sometimes you need somebody to come alongside you, put their arm around you, pick you up by your bootstraps, pull you out of that pit, and walk with you for a while.
Yeah, I think there's people out there, and maybe even we have loved ones that are struggling right now. And for the most part, people will say, oh, I'm fine. The reality is, if your gut is telling you that person's not fine, you better be checking up on them, whether it's a telephone, email, sending them cards, letters, text, video chat, social media, however you know, whatever your portal of communication with that person is. I think that as we have loved ones that kind of struggle with that, and all of us probably have people in our lives that have symptoms of that or struggle in some sense. And I think in this time, especially the level of isolation that we're in, that we have to be considering that probably they're looking for other people to come around, because that tape, it's sad when it wins. And we have kind of an epidemic in our world. We look at, you know, universities right now, millennials right now are killing themselves at a very high rate, higher than maybe any time in our history. And in one sense, it's, you're like, why would you do this? And I don't think we totally understand unless you're in that predicament. It's like a person that comes back from war and, you know, you think they're going to come back normal and they're just not. They're not normal. That's maybe not the right word, but they don't come back the same way. They've changed. And, you know, PTSD is a real thing. I think of our like grandfathers, the great generation, and they're coming back from war. And, you know, you'll hear stories from our parents. Oh, yeah, grandpa was, you know, XYZ. He wasn't nice, or he was super quiet, or, you know, he sat on the armchair and he'd have a six pack every night. And obviously we didn't know what we know now on some of those things, but I think they were suffering from some of the things that they saw, some of the things that happened to them, and some of the things that they did in war. So mental illness plays a part, I think, in all of our families at some level, and in all of our like, we have to be just careful to look toward those things, and especially in a stir crazy time like this.
And that's the hard part about the mental side of it, is you can't see what's going on. I mean, if somebody's got a broken arm, you can see that. If somebody's struggling with anxiety or depression, it's an internal thing. And it's a battle. It's really a battle going on inside them. And it's this fight that it's exhausting. And so as you get more exhausted and you're trying to fight, you just kind of go in this spiral, and it gets harder and harder to pull yourself out by yourself.
Yeah. Our God is relational, and we were created in His image, and so do need each other. And I think this quarantine has really shown us that we need that relationship stuff. Yeah. And so this quarantine will come to an end at some point, and things will go back to some type of normal, maybe not the
a new normal, maybe.
Yeah. Some type of new normal. Yeah. Part of that is having perspective. That was another thing that my article talked about. Like, remembering
my
this
article.
Thing.
I like that. My article. This thing will come, friend anymore. No, we've gone moved to my article.
It was
article.
A guy that went to jail, not me. Come on. Yeah, he went to jail for like 18 months for white collar crime. I've never done anything like that. So anyway.
That you've been caught for.
Yeah. So yeah,
I'll be your wheel man.
We need to remember, like, this thing will come to an end, and that doesn't discount, like, we need to be watching out for each other, and there are mental issues that could continue on beyond this time frame. But for those of us who are just stir crazy and want to try to get out and do stuff, remember there is an end to this and we will survive. We will get through it. And because sometimes you can look into the future and be like, only see the gloom and doom, right? There's a lot of scary reports out there about economy stuff and think you can kind of spiral down on some of that. There's life's never going to be the same or never going to be as good as it once was. And that, and I think we need to remember that we have each other and we can get through this together. So
I'm reminded of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was facing uncertainty, emotional, under emotional duress. He brings his guys with him to go to the garden to pray. And he goes in solitude and he prays before the Father, asking for change, but yet your will be done. But what does he do? He goes back to his guys and he's like, you're still here. I need you. I need you to be praying with me before everything goes down. I think that's a prime example for me that, yep, we go and pray. And the church answers, yep, something's bad. We're going to pray. And that's absolutely, there's power in prayer. That's a great thing to do. But you need those people around you to love you, to look out for you, to be able to offer help, offer assistance. I mean, we need a Peter to come and chop off a dude's ear when somebody's trying to attack us. Like, you need those resources in your life and you need that help. And it's okay to get help. Like, it's just okay.
Yeah, I think a lot of times there's triggers that we have in our lives. I've been doing this job for a long time and I've seen people in really bad states. And a lot of times there's like this lack of self-worth, but it comes out of something. It's a deeper issue than that. There's guilt or shame, something that's happened to them or something that they have done themselves. And, you know, how do you walk through that? I think her name is Brené Brown. There's a really good book on that, Braving the Wilderness, something like that. And it's just really good about thinking through what's the difference between shame and guilt. There are times where we are guilty. You do a white collar crime and you are guilty of that, but it doesn't identify who you are. It's not your whole identity. And that's the difference, I think, the simple difference between guilt and shame. One is something that we've done rather than something that we are. And those identity statements are really important. I think that's one of the things. Like when we've talked about scripture, there are some things like how do you focus on that you're a child of God, a blood-bought son or daughter of Christ? How do you focus that God is absolutely in love with you, that he sings songs over you? How do you focus on some of those things? You know, sometimes we church the crud out of things and think it's going to be okay. And yet there's times where you do need professional help to kind of walk through that and unpack that at a deeper level. It doesn't change the truth of the scripture that God is absolutely in love with you and paid the ultimate price for you. Those are encouraging statements as you become healthy or as a point, a starting point, but I don't think they cure you.
No, and I'm glad you brought up that topic of shame because as a believer, you start to struggle mentally and then with its depression or anxiety, whatever that is, you start to feel more and more guilty that oh, I know who I am. I'm a blood-bought son or daughter of Jesus Christ. And you start to get down on yourself and that narrative starts to play that tape over and over again. I shouldn't be like this. This shouldn't be happening to me. But the Bible promises that we're going to face trials and tribulations. That could be physical, could be mental, could be spiritual, but it's not something that's abnormal to you just because you are a Christian or have faith.
Well, yeah, because you have Bible characters all the time. Like, God, just kill me. Yeah. Just kill me. I don't even want to do this anymore. I can't do this. If this is the lot that you've given me in my life, I'm not going to do this. Oh, back to the Brené Brown thing. If you are struggling with that, there's a really good TED Talk on this. And you can get a kind of a snippet of what's in the book. Just type in Brené Brown, Listening to Shame, I think is the TED Talk on it, how that tape that plays in our heads. And this is a really important thing. Know that that tape is filled with lies. Know that the scriptures tell us that Satan is there to destroy and he wants nothing more than for you to take something or to live in the less than life that God has created for you. The Bible is very clear that he wants to destroy it. And I think in some ways there's a win when we submit to that tape that's playing in our minds and we do something to harm ourselves or harm somebody else or really live just in the midst of that. Sometimes it's a medication, sometimes it's counseling, sometimes, you know, there's lots of ways to that, but get help if you need help in this.
Yeah, and if you know somebody that's going through that, I believe it's Galatians tells us that we're supposed to shoulder each other's burdens and walk with them. So my prayer for everybody listening, if you're struggling, get help. I pray for a heart of humility to reach out. And if you're one of those people that is out there and you're thriving right now, look for others that need a hand. Help them up. Help them out.
We'd just like to pray for the listeners right now as we close this up, and we'll just ask our God to be a hedge of protection around and eyes to see when we need to step in, and also just for those who are just struggling right now with being stir crazy. God, we come before you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're a God who loves us and cares about us. We ask that, God, if we have friends out there who are just struggling with their worth and maybe just struggling with why they're even here, God, I just ask that you would meet them today. God, we'll recognize that there are times where our organ of our brain is just broke at some level, and it's okay. We live in a fallen world. We have broken bones, broken hearts. We get cancer at times, all of those things. And this is just a part of living in this world. God, help them to see that. Help them to seek out help. God, help us to have eyes to see those who are hurting and struggling and are stir crazy to a point where it's not just, I want to go on vacation. I want to get out, but it's something totally different than that. God, we just ask that you would put a hedge of protection. And God, if there is a listener out there right now that just needs help, that they would make a phone call, or that they'd shoot us an email, and God, that we could try to help, and God, that you would give us wisdom in that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, it's been great, and thank you for hanging out with us. And if you have a topic you'd like us to address, we'd love to hear from you, and you can always email Travis@evangelup.org. And so that's about it. We will talk to you next time.
You also can call us. What's our phone number?
The easiest way to reach us is 906-233-6611. And you can text that number as well. That's an easy way to get a hold of us too. So thanks, guys, again for joining us, and we'll see you next week.